Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Thursday, August 18th, 2016. With me today, Brian Chaffin. How are you, Brian?
Yeah, all right.
That's swell. I'm so glad to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We don't like hardly ever get to do a show where it's just the two of us.
Yeah, no, that's a rarity.
I'm really proud of myself for getting through that statement with a straight face.
Yeah. You know, I mean, like sometimes we have to go an entire week.
It's like withdrawal. But anyhow, now I just thought it would be fun to do a TDO episode today where it is just the two of us.
Plus, everybody else is busy. I'm going to destroy that illusion.
What is wrong with you, man?
I don't know, man.
Here I was trying to make it sound like this is just going to be this really cool thing.
It's a special thing we're doing, yeah.
Right. And then you have to go and just let everyone know that that no one else had time today.
Yeah, yeah.
And so basically, I just roped you into a show. And hey, it's really great that you're here today, Brian.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's a pleasure to be here.
For this special episode where it'll be just the two of us. Anyhow, all right, well, as long as we're here, I guess we'll do a show. Hey, you were checking out what Mark Ritson was saying over, where did he say it at? It was at
Marketing Week,
yes. So Mark Ritson, he's calling out Apple and saying that the company is not socially responsible, or being socially responsible, because Apple is hoarding all of this money overseas and should be brought back in the country, and Apple shouldn't be avoiding taxes by keeping money out of the country. And am I kind of getting the gist of what he's saying?
Well, he's saying that Apple's tax minimization practices, specifically Apple's practice of keeping money overseas rather than bringing it home and paying taxes on it, that he's saying it's immoral, especially while Tim Cook spends a lot of time talking about the great responsibility that Apple has to the local governments, and you know, while calling on the U.S. government to invest more in infrastructure, which apparently is something Mr. Cook did in a recent interview, and so he had a great quote. Here's a great line here: Google's approach to tax minimization is no less disappointing than Apple's, but to its credit, at no point does Google or its holding company Alphabet pretend that it's about anything other than the business of search. Well, wait, that's not true, but whatever. In contrast, Apple wants to have its billion-dollar cake while eating it at a brand purpose party using CSR cutlery. And so I think what he's really complaining about is that Tim Cook takes a sort of holier than all the other CEOs approach about, you know, like he specifically talked about being a different CEO in the Washington Post interview, and that he sees that as being in contrast with Apple's tax policies. I'm pitching that as my interpretation of what he's saying rather than what I believe.
Okay. Okay. Well, let's go with the assumption that your interpretation of what he's saying is accurate. Do you think he's right?
Well, he's factual in a lot of these things. So Apple does keep money offshore, for instance. Apple is not moving money offshore. It's the money that Apple earns overseas. Apple doesn't bring that into the States now, and so doing so, the way the U.S. tax code is set up, you don't pay tax on profits until you bring them home. It's a it's It's a system that encourages every multinational company to do exactly what Apple does. And as a matter of fact, all of the companies do. Almost all the companies. Okay. Certainly all the large, mega rich multinational companies keep their money offshore. They're all waiting for either a change in U.S. tax code or a tax holiday, which has happened in the past. And because it's happened in the past, everyone assumes it'll happen again. Mm-hmm. So, like, you know, what Apple does is Apple actually borrows money on the in the bond markets to spend in the States rather than bringing money back to use. And it's so, you know, it's kind of crazy. It costs like Apple 2% to borrow money, and Apple would have to pay somewhere between 35 and 40, well, let's call it between 30 and 40% on monies if it actually brings it home.
All right, so from that perspective, regardless of social responsibility, I can't imagine why Apple would bring money back in the country like that. The shareholders would flip. That would be fiscally irresponsible.
Tim Cook, the board would probably be subject to a shareholder suit for breach of fiduciary responsibility. You know, could be wrong about that, but it seems like that could certainly happen. What Tim Cook told a Senate hearing was that we follow the law. If you want us to behave differently, change the law.
Mm-hmm.
So, for instance, if the law suddenly, and you could do that in a number of ways. First of all, the law could be changed to make corporate income taxes 15%, or, you know, someone as low as 5%, whatever. I think that's too low. Matter of fact, I think it's way too low, but whatever. So let's, you know, call it 15%, 20%, something along those lines. The law can be changed that way. Not really sure that's going to get everybody to bring their money home, but it might. The law could also be changed to say that you have to pay income tax in the United States on your profits earned abroad, whether or not you bring that money home. That would be another way to change the law. There would be enormous resistance to that, of course. From money to interests.
Sure. And I'm assuming that if one country said, look, you have to pay taxes on all your revenue, regardless of where it comes from, then other countries would do the same. And I could see that just siphoning even some big companies dry.
Well, no, I mean, the way that would work, I mean, only so. Apple Indonesia, I'm assuming there's an Apple Indonesia. There may not be, but whatever. Apple Indonesia does not derive any of its profits from the rest of the world.
Okay.
So if Indonesia says you've got to pay taxes on your money, regardless of where it came from, that would only apply to Apple Indonesia. And that actually is already the case. You know, local companies have to pay local taxes.
Of course.
This is why the Apple's practices with
Ireland
are such a big deal. You know, Apple, the Apple licenses its intellectual property to a subsidiary that's in Ireland, so that all of the profits generated by a number of companies that Apple Ireland ends up selling to outside of the United States end up being subject to Ireland's low tax rate rather than, you know, Germany's higher tax rate or France's higher tax rate or Italy's higher tax rate, et cetera.
All right. So really, it comes down to what Tim Cook said, which is, if you don't like the way we're managing our money for taxes, then you need to change your laws.
Right. And Mr. if we're still talking about Mark Ritson, he makes it quite clear everything. He's not accusing Apple of doing anything illegal. He's saying that it's immoral. He believes that if you truly have a commitment to if you truly have a commitment to the local communities in which you're participating, then actually. He, I Tim put it as an incredible responsibility to, quote, the communities and the countries that the company operates in. That if that's going to be your stance, then go ahead and bring your money home and pay taxes on it. And I don't agree with that. I have issues with Apple and Google and Facebook and other large companies doing something different. And that's negotiating with, using one state against another state, or using one municipality against another municipality, or one county against another county to get local tax breaks.
Yeah, I have a problem with that, too.
I've got a huge problem with rich companies not paying their fair share of local taxes. And it's legal. So, you know, what happens is they go, hey, Cityville, we are going to open up a country. We're going to open up a plant or an office. It's going to be a major thing. There's going to be like 500 people working here, or 70 people working here. You know, the bigger the operation, the more leverage you have.
Sure.
So, what can you do for us? And, you know, Cityville would be like, well, what do you mean? What can we do for you? He's like, well, I don't know. Can we get an abatement on our property taxes? And Cityville's like, well, no, we need you to pay property taxes. We got schools and roads to pay for. And Apple will go, well, yeah, but Countryville over here, Bumpkinville would love to have us.
I would have gone with Gotham and Metropolis, but that's just
Gotham. That would have been much better. Gotham over here is would be happy to have us. So, as a matter of fact, they're going to let us pay no taxes, no local property taxes, because they're just so thrilled to have all these people working here. So, you know, what are you going to do? And large companies pit different governments against each other like this all the time, and then they end up getting these sweetheart deals that you and I couldn't get, sweetheart deals that small businesses can't get.
Right.
And the reason why that bothers me, again, it's completely legal, but the reason why it bothers me is because they're using local facilities. They have employees with kids in local schools. Though their employees are driving the local roads. Right. And mm-hmm. and these things cost money. And that money comes from local taxes. And to me, large corporations should be paying the same state and local taxes that everybody else is paying. And that really bothers me. But I don't have any problem whatsoever with Apple or Google or anyone else following the law when it comes to profits earned overseas.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with that either. It just seems like a really bad business move for companies to bring that money in the country. The way our tax laws are written right now, it is prohibitive to bringing that money back here. Or yeah. Here in the first place.
Yeah, it's not back here, it's here.
Right.
Yeah, they're not moving. People get that confused a lot. People accuse Apple, for instance, Apple in particular, of moving money offshore, and that's not at all what Apple does.
Right. And I know we make jokes about being mostly pedantic at times on Apple Context Machine, but in this case, it's actually a really important distinction.
It's a huge distinction. Apple is not avoiding taxes. Apple is minimizing taxes.
Yeah, and that's a big difference.
It is. Now, there does need to be some kind of common sense reform. There are hundreds of billions, if not trillions of dollars, sitting offshore, untaxed and unused. And so part of the problem is that the last time we did a tax holiday, I've got a number of issues with the tax holiday. First of all, when you have tax holidays, it doesn't change any long-term behavior. Companies would sensibly just wait for the next tax holiday.
Of course.
Right. And also, the last time we did a tax holiday, it was pitched as a let's let these companies bring in money so that they can invest it in the local businesses. You know, they invest it in infrastructure and, you know, building new corporate buildings and, you know, and R&D and all sorts of things like that. And that's not at all, that's not even vaguely what happened.
No, the didn't it become like bonuses for executives?
Yeah, shareholders and executives got the money. What, you know, which is fine, sort of, except for the fact that it was, you know, pitched as something different. Yeah, so, I mean, you know, tax holiday isn't the way to solve this issue long term. We need a common sense overhaul of our corporate tax code to have it make sense for U.S. companies to bring the money they earn overseas back home, where some of it will also go to shareholders and executives, and some of it will end up being used for stuff. For instance, all the money that Apple borrows, Apple wouldn't need to borrow it.
Yeah, that's true.
And, you know, Apple is a company. Facebook is a company. All the tech giants here in Silicon Valley, they are investing in projects here in the States. You know, Apple has got, for instance, all of its energy investments that it's been making around the country, around the world, really, but certainly also around the country. Mm-hmm. And Apple has also, of course, been investing in data centers. And Apple built that plant to make Mac Pros, LOL, in mm-hmm. Austin. And Apple has a very large AppleCare facility in Austin as well. And a lot of Apple finance stuff has been going on. Actually, AppleCare is part of finance, but whatever. There's you know, Apple has a really big presence in Austin. But Apple also, if you remember, bought the facilities in Arizona, still owns that stuff, even though the stuff it was going to do with GT Advanced.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, they still have that out there.
Yeah, you know, and there are other data centers. We don't necessarily know about all the data centers. We don't necessarily know about all the energy stuff that's being done. These things all take money, and Apple is doing it through the bond markets. I don't think the current tax situation is keeping Apple from doing anything. That's for sure. But it may be keeping some people from doing stuff. It certainly may facilitate some things being done by large corporations that are you know, really looking to the future.
You know, I just realized we're almost out of time, Brian.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, single topic.
Yeah, but you know, that's okay. We can turn this into a two topic thing real quick. There's Target, the big box retailer. Target is saying that their decline in year-over-year sales is Apple's fault. And they're saying it's because people aren't buying as many Apple products in their stores. What do you think of that?
So Target blamed Apple as one of three reasons why its sales are down. So mm-hmm. they said that they saw a 20% decrease in sales of Apple products during the second quarter, which is significant for Target. Mm-hmm. And that 20% shortfall was responsible for 0.7% of the 1.1% year-over-year decline in revenues.
Okay. So that's just math.
There are other reasons. Yeah, you're right. But it wasn't all Apple. But they did blame Apple as one of three reasons why they had lower sales. And they said that they were working with Apple to increase performance. Didn't specify what, and Apple isn't saying either. Don't know what in particular they're going to be doing. But it's you know, and Apple. This is the second quarter. This is the same second quarter that Apple's already reported. And there is lag between Target would be part of what we call the channel. Mm-hmm. So there's a bit of lag between what Target does in the second quarter and when that actually affects Apple's own sales. We probably saw some of that during Apple's already reported second quarter results, where Apple also had year over year sales declines. They just weren't anywhere near 20%.
All right. Well, okay. So I'm going to use a single data point because it's my show. I can totally get away with that. And just base an entire argument on that. The target that is near me, so this would be the target in Boulder, Colorado, you wouldn't even know they sell Apple products unless you went looking for them. Because they really don't have any sort of display. There's a locked cabinet that has iPads in it. And unless you know that stuff is there, you could very easily just walk right past it. It's not even at eye level. It's one of those lower half cabinets.
Well, it's interesting. Target has actually been a really vigorous and enthusiastic Apple partner.
Yeah, that's true. And yet I have to wonder if part of their sales decline is because of the way they're actually displaying product.
Well,
at least I mean, in the one store.
Did they change anything? Did it used to be more prominently displayed and then they stuck it in cabinets?
I really don't recall ever seeing a prominent iPhone or iPad display.
Well, then that's not responsible for the decline. Well, right? Because these devices and products were performing better.
So then in that case, maybe the store that I frequent is an anomaly.
I kind of suspect it is. I've always felt that Apple had a really good presence at the Targets I've been to.
All right. Well, then this particular Target needs to step it up a notch.
There we go.
Hey, okay. We really are out of time, so we have to wrap up. Brian, thank you for being here.
Yep.
And I'm glad that we were able to have this show where we could just be the two of us, because that's what we wanted to do, and everyone else was
all our choice.
Yeah, all our choice. Anyhow, it always is great to get to do a show with you anyhow, so it's all cool. Listeners, thank you for being here. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.